Okay, we're picking up seven lines from the top of Samach Dalet Amud Aleph. Our learning is once again sponsored the Ula Nishmas Shulamas Bas Yaakov, the Neshama Shenhaven Aliyah. So the Gemara is continuing with the Braisa, discussing Tumah Vatara, Fitzaf, Apanayim, things like that. So says the Gemara now. Tana Rabbanu, we learn in the Braisa, call the Nitalin Vanigwarin. Anything which is carried or Nigwarin is to be dragged. And the Rush gives an example. Let's say you're talking about a sheretz, dragging a dead sheretz. So Sveika Tamalacha is that if the Tumah, if you're not sure, if the Tumah maybe touched something or not, so then you have to act L'chumna, even if it's in Rishus Rabbim. Because if the question is whether while being carried or dragged, that the Tumah touched a person had been previously tar, then you're going to be Tameh. Because they're like, they're resting. Meaning, since they're being held on by a person, they're not treated like a tumah which is tzaf, they're treated as tumah which is resting, which is usually the halacha of a rishus yachid, and therefore they would make the person who suffered if he touched it tameh. Von is rakid, but you have tumah that while it was thrown, let's say the same sheretz was thrown in the air and maybe touched something, you're not sure, did it hit something or not? Like, did it hit it while it was thrown in the air? So then, sveikan tahor. Then, if you have a suffek tumah, then it's tahor. Because that's like, it's something which is moving, and therefore like rishus Harabim. Chutz min kizayis min reis, except for the lacha with regards to a kizayis, an olive's amount of a dead body, because if a dead body was thrown over an object, so then if it was directly over it, then we have the lachas of ohel. The lacha of ohel would tell you that a kizayis min reis is going to be tameh. So therefore, the lacha of a special leniency that we heard with regards to a sheretz would not apply to the lacha of ohel, because it's more machmer, tumas meis. Tumas meis is more machmer than that of tumas shratzin. So therefore, we can only learn the special heter that we have, that tumah, that saf, applies to things which are generally done only by negiyah, which is something like tumas sharet. However, when it comes to tumas meis, which is a stronger level tumah, so we don't have this special heter, and therefore we have to go to the regular rules of something being in Rosh Hashanah or Rosh Hashanah, and that's what the Braisa is telling you, the Kazayas from the Mace, we're assuming it's like Rosh Hashanah there, and that's why you would be, Rosh Hashanah rather, that's why you're going to be presumed to be Tahor. Ma'ala Pnei Ptumah, and also that which is forming a roof, or a source of Tumah, so meaning if a Tahor object was thrown in the air, and you're not sure whether or not it passed directly over a dead body, so that is also going to be Tameh. Why? Because this is Tumah by the way of Ohel and not through Negiyah. And therefore, the special halachas of Tumah that you could be Mekel do not apply. So that's the halacha over here that it wouldn't apply. And v'chodavar shimetameh milamata kilamata. And milamala kilamata. Anything which is Tameh, that which is milamala, that which is above it, if it to what's below it. Meaning that there are things that if a person, a zav or zava, a nida, not nida, yeah, right. I think nida also nida, and neoledes, those are generally the categories, those four people, right, they're considered mechusar kapara, even after, okay, but that's another point, the korbanos of the ring, not a nida though, but only a zava. But either way, these four people, there's a special halacha, that which they sit on, is going to be tummy, and anything under it also is going to be tummy, and also that which is above it, if there's something to touch on the bottom, everything above it would become tummy as well, also through an avatuma. So that's a special chumra. So just like we don't have the special kulas that sheretz applies to tumas meis, also the halacha that we when it's moving, we wouldn't have the same halachas by zav v'zava nidilas either, because those are more chumar. La'suya zav v'zava, that the zav and zava are going to be included in this category, and therefore they're not going to have the special halachas of tuma which is tzaf, since these halachas are only things that are only tame through negia. And we know that a zav and zava can be metame, even if they're only touching the bottom chair, they're sitting on the top chair, everything below them becomes tame through navatuma, they weren't touching it. So it's anything that has this special chumra would not be in the category of something which we could apply the special heter, or something that's thrown above it, and you have a suffix. So now the Gemara asks, by Rabbi Bar Chama, Rabbi Bar Chama has a question. Mace bekli, if a dead body was in a kli, was in some sort of vessel, kli tzafaga abemayim, and this kli, this vessel, this thing, was floating on the water, on the top of the water, on the surface of the water. Mo, what's the halacha over here? Is it going to be, if you have a suffix, whether or not something touched the dead body over here? So someone has a suffix, we're not sure if he was directly over it, or if he touched it. So, Basar Kli, as we know, should we go after the vessel And since we have the halacha by a floating vessel that it's tahar, this person should remain tahar. Or should we go after the dead body, which is there, resting in this vessel? And since it's resting in it, it is considered something which is not going to have the special heter, something that's tzaf, something which is floating. That heter only things applies to things that are going to be, that you only touch, not things that are subject to the halachas of tumas oel. So it says the Gemara, Im timtza lomar lav basar kli azlinan, out of the word lav, if you're going to see, if you should assume that we do not go according to the vessel that which it was in, and therefore we're assuming that it's considered munach, and therefore it is tame, so then what's going to be the halacha of mesa gabe sheretz mahu? That in a case where you have a dead body on top of a dead sheretz, and the sheretz is floating in the water, what's the halacha over there? Kevan da'ai tumas arev, since this tuma was a tuma sheretz is only a nighttime tuma, right? You go to the mikvah, and then you're ready, what's called a tful yom. You're waiting, all you're waiting for is Har Shemesh. You're waiting for the shkia, and then you're tahor. V'hai tuma shiva, whereas the case of tuma by a tamei mace is 7 days, so therefore it's more machmir. Therefore, the tuma, as if it's placed inside of this vessel. Since it has a different level of tuma, stronger, the sheretz, relative to that of the dead body, is considered something which is separate and therefore would be different. So just as the dead body floating is not considered floating, so too the sheret, since it's a different thing, different category halakhically, maybe should also be considered something which is not floating. Or we can assume that it's just one big glob of tuma, and it's all one unit, and therefore it's all going to have the same halakha, and it's floating, and it's going to be tahor. And the Gemara says, we could go further. We're going to assume that the tumah is placed inside the kli, this vessel. It's really considered like it's tameh, v'tameh vadai, and you're going to be definitely tameh. Sheretz agabe nevela, nevela tzafu b'mayim. What's the case? What's going to be the din if you have a dead sheretz on top of nevela, and the nevela is floating? Kevar etarvayu tumas erev inun, says both of them, the sheretz and the nevela, are going to be tumah that lasts until the nighttime. Tumas michasahi, it's going to be a thick glob of tuma. Odilma, it's one thing, one unit. Hai kazai, so hai chadasha, that this halacha of nevela is going to be a halacha of what is metabed by nevela, only a kazai amount. When it comes to the top, would be considered something, when it comes to the nevela, that's going to be the halacha. The sheretz rather is only going to be when the size of a lentil. That's the lach of a sheretz. So maybe they could be viewed as two separate entities because halachically their shear is different. And sheretz agabe sheretz mal. Maybe even a sheretz on top of another could be viewed as not one. That maybe the bottom one maybe not all both floating. Maybe they are because ane vade chad shear ninu. Definitely they have the same shear for what's metame. So why you just assume that it's one unit, one thing, and therefore they should have the same status? So dilma came into mimsaki medade lo. Yeah, but at the end of the day, it's two different dead animals. It's two different animals, and therefore they're not considered one unit, one thing together, and they should be separated. And if you're going to say, maybe you have a case of sheretz agabe sheretz, so one sheretz on top of the other, since they are separate from another, so as if the one on top is resting in a kli, and therefore not considered floating. What's going to be the lacha? A sheretz on top of nevela that is turned into one glob. So, what's the halacha? Do we say that since it already disintegrated into one thing, then we can treat it like a liquid halacha, like a drink, and therefore it's not separate between the sheretz and the water. In which case, it could be viewed as tzaf al gabe amayim, in which you could assume it's tahor. Since we assume that the solid food, we treat it as a solid, and separate from the sheretz and the mayim, and therefore it would not have the special heter of tuma that's tzaf al gabe amayim. So the Gemara's into tzalmar d'ochlo, if we're going to assume that it's treated as solid, sheretz al gabe shechvat zerama. What's going to be the lacha if you have a sheretz on top of a man's zera? It's floating in the water. Into tzalmar kevon de miskari avile ochla, you say that since when the zera comes out of the body of the man, it's treated like a solid food, which is distinct from the water which is on top of it, because unlike the way the Rishonim explain, unlike when a person urinates, that comes from the bladder before it's a person is releasing this urine. When it comes to a person's zera, man's seed, so it's going to be, it comes out right away, and therefore not viewed as a water like substance. It's going to be different halachically. So the Gemara says sheretz agave mechatas and mechatas tafen agave ma. What about if you have a sheretz on top of a mechatas and the water used to mix the ashes of the paraduma, and it's on top of regular water? So since the ashes mix into the water, make it thicker than regular ordinary water. So the shaila is, do we assume that this would make it two different items, and therefore it's not considered like it's one floating thing, or do we assume it is one floating thing? The Gemara answers all these questions. Le'adinan teku, we don't know, and we are mitzvah Hashem. We're waiting for right teres yishbi tishbi tares kashas vavayas, that we wait for Eliyahu Navi to explain to us the answer for all these tekus. So that's the Gemara Vayter. Now turning on to Amud Beis, Tamach Talmud Beis. Amar Rav Yimnuna. So going, Rav Yimnuna is talking about the special tumas atahum. So the Gemara is now wondering, Nazir v'osa Pesach, if a Nazir, someone who did a Korban Pesach, sha'alcha v'kevra atahum v'shvishalahen. So they accidentally walked over a grave, and so they're tummy, and they needed the hazaz shlishi v'shvi, right? You need to sprinkle yourself on day 3 and 7 on the Efer Paraduma. And on the 7th day, so normally he did that, and then he shaves his head on the 7th day, brings his Korbanos on the 8th day, and then he keeps his teglachas atahara. Then that was the Korban Tumah. And then he brings the teglachas atahara. So he did all this, brings the teglachas atahara, and then he was told that on day 7 of his Tumah process, he had actually become Tameh. And similarly, same thing by a Korban Pesach, right? Day 3 and 7, he was Tameh. And he, right now, let's assume, right, where a person was still Tameh now, you'd still be in the clear, because you'd be Tahar already on Yud Beis. So he was day 3 and day 7. So we're waiting. We're waiting, Mirtz Hashem, that right now that could happen to all of us, right? We have the opportunity that if we get the Efer Paraduma, we say Achakilu B'Chayim Shiavu, Mashiach should come. We should have the Efer Paraduma, the 8th one that's going to be bringing the Mashiach, and then we wait that it's going to be. We're all due Tuma Hazar Shlishi V'Shvi, and then we can all bring Be'ezras Hashem this coming year. We could bring the Korban Pesach, all of Kali Yisrael together. What a beautiful thing. Anyway, so here you could, on the 7th day, he was coming to Tahor, and he was finding out afterwards that he was on a grave site or something like that, which was covered. Something very deep and under the ground that nobody knew about. So Gemara says, over there, the lach is, so, b'shvi shalahen tehorim. The lach is that they're Tahor. You don't lose any of the days in his years, and Korban Pesach, you don't have to do Pesach Sheni, you're Yotze. Says Gemara, why? Rav Amnuna says, because Amar my taima the lo ilimas tuma atom the mitzar. Tumas atom is not so strong to be able to cause you to lose the korban that you had already brought in this case. Rav Amnuna didn't explain and verify this halacha, to which the Gemara asks Akasha, Mesiv Rava based on the Mishnah. Yara the tar mitumas ames tame. Shechezkas tame, and Shechezkas tar. The our Mishnah told us if you go into the mikvah, So then what happened? And he found presumably some sort of mace there. So lach is a cheskas tame is tame, cheskas tahar is tahar. So even on the 7th day of tahar process, on his way to be tovel, if a person is going to be able to become tame. So how does Rav Yimnuna tell me that the day of tuma is going to be irrelevant for this halacha? It's very much relevant. So says the Gemara, Amar Leir, Rav Yimnuna responded to Rava. He answered Rava. So says the Gemara, what do you say? Modina lach benazir shemuchusar tiglachas. I agree with you in the case of a nazir who didn't shave yet for tuma when he had the tumas at the home, that in such a case, the nazir is not going to be yotze. Because in the case of the Mishnah, could be talking about tumas at the home, where he already had brought the tiglachas, and therefore he brought the korbanos, and he only became, found out about it after, then he can ignore the fact that he became tamay. So therefore, that's the answer to Rava's question. So the Gemara says, Amar le Rava. So Rava says to Rabbi Nuna, Afane modina lach ba'ose Pesach. I would agree with you though, the lach of the Korban Pesach, and you find out that you were Tameh on the 7th day of your being mitar yourself, so then, and it was through Tumas Atom, de la mechusar v'lo klum. On that day, you don't lose the Korban Pesach, but if you found about it after, because you're someone who's doing the whole process of Tahara, so you're in the category of someone who's cheskas tara is remaining tara, and you're not going to be affected by the fact that you were tamei. When it comes to nazir tamei, who was mitar himself on the 7th day, and he did the tiklachas tuma, he also finished his actions that were done, and lechor has the cheskas tara. So Rav is saying, I agree that in these cases, that would be a case where you could be mekel. So the Gemara says, Amar lei Abaye. So Abaye says back to Rava, so v'hamachusar Hashemes. At the end of the day, that even after the mikvah on the seventh day, that it's only when Harav Shemesh, when you have sunset, it was mentioned, you're still Tful Yom, and therefore Abai is asking, even though you've done all the things for Tara Pasis, you're not going to be a Cheskas Tahor until nighttime. Why? It's the seventh day, you're still Tameh. So the Gemara says, Amar Lei Shimsha Memela Arva. The sun comes on its own. Meaning, mitzad you, but etzem, you're tahor, you're just, it's a chesed gavra. On you, the gavra, you're be'etzem tahor. Elamai, the chefza hayom, the day has not ended yet. And that day has prevented you from becoming tahor. And so, it's a gishma, because it's nafkamina, this lambda is chefza nafkamina, is that this very question of Abaye. So, meaning Abaye's point is that really he should be a cheskas tameh, until sunset, because if he's not, then we would assume that right at the end of the day he's still tamei right now until it's sunset. So he should have the cheskas tamei. So Amrlei. So as we just said, the shimshon meila arva, that the sun comes on its own, and that was this the chakir up here. But af Abaye hadabei, and Abaye ended up retracting his original kasha, because the son of the Braisa tells us the Braisa is talking about a woman who gave birth to a daughter. So when you give birth to a girl, the Torah tells you that for right arba'as yomim, that she is going to be tumas nida, and then what was it, the shishim yom v'shisha yomim, I think, for the next 66 days she is going to be what's called dam tohar. We don't practice dam tohar as manazem midaraisa. This was the halacha midaraisa for a man, for a boy, she's tummy for 7 days, and yom shmini, the 8th day, she's already and sees the dam tohar. She goes mikvah, and every blood that she sees is dam tara. The mice nowadays we're machmir to assume that we're machmir and all dam tara, so that we assume it's treated like dam nida, and a woman can't go to the mikvah until that she stops bleeding. But that's a later takada. So anyway, the din is that when she finishes these 66 days, so that she has to bring a korban. She has to bring a korban. She's in the category of zav, zava, nida, and mitzora, and the yoledas rather. Zav, zava, Mitzorah, and the Yoledis. Those are usually the four that are put together, because they're all considered Mechusar Kapar. She has to bring a Korban. She's not allowed to do other Korbanas until she brings this Korban. So she's considered a person who's one long Harav Shemesh. She's a Harav Shemesh for 66 days, because she's only allowed to bring the Korban on day 80. So she has the halachic status of a Tful Yom. She is allowed to eat Maaser Sheni, but she's not allowed to eat Truma or Kachim. That's the halacha for this woman. So that was just the background. Tani Yom Lo is Tabi. So if she, we're talking about a case where the woman miscarries. She miscarries, if she has a miscarriage and a 40-year-old baby, she has the halacha of normal Leda. So then, on the day where she's Yom Lo's, refers to day 81 where she's bringing the Korbanos, so then she brings an additional Korban. If she gave birth to another girl before she brought her korbanos and after she miscarried, that she had conceived again during this in between 66 days. So then that the korbanos that she brought for her daughter's birth does not pater her from the obligation that she had the korbanos from the miscarriage. So that's the halacha. Yom melos tavi. However, if it's toch melos los tavi, if she miscarried before the yom melos, she does not have to bring an additional korban. She's yotzei by one single korban. So if she miscarried within this middle period that we're talking about, before day 81, then the korbanos that she brings on account of her daughter's birth also is miyotze both dinim. So Gemara says, Yachal latavi aleida shelifnei melos. You might have thought that she shouldn't bring also an additional korban for that which is before the day that she's finishing her melos, the day she's going to completion for her daughter. So Aga, by the way, there's halacha that I don't think it's practiced as much as that. I was curious to look in the poskim that this halacha is kima, unfortunately not nogea. We hope these additional halachas should be nogea again. But about the 80 days and the 60 days for a boy, and the 40 days for a boy. But the Magen Avraham brings an old time minhag. Apparently, this was all minhag of Ashkenaz. Is that when these days finish, day 80 for a girl and day 40 for a boy, there used to be this minhag ad gedikach. The husband is a chiyav for an aliyah. Talking about the chiyav and aliyah, like yartzei, things like that. I think one of the highest levels of the Magen Avraham was this person. Is that the woman, the husband used to come to shul, and he used to make this bracha, and it was like in place of her korban. It's like ki'ilu, she was a part of the korban. There's a whole very fascinating thing. So, and the husband was a chiyuv. I don't see it. I mean, I'm not familiar with people who practice this din, but this was a old-time Ashkenazi custom. So anyway, that the halacha, I'm just bringing it out because it reminded me of something which is halacha l'maisa based on these days of 40, 80. So we're back in the brace now. So the halacha tells you, I would have thought that she doesn't have to bring additional korban before she finishes her completion on the occasion of her birth of her daughter. But she brings an additional korban for a delivery that happened after the day, after her daughter, even before the day of the melos, the day of the miscarriage. Since the single korban is going to be yosef for both, so it says the Gemara, and there's a really parenthesis here, but tipater mishtein, pater for both, Talmud Lomar v'losi mei tara. The pasuk says, when the completion of our days of tara, b'yom melos tavi, the day of her completion, she brings a separate korban, toch melos lo tavi. If before it's that day, she does not have to bring a separate korban, she can be yotzi done with both. So we see from the braisa that Abaye changed the shita, that the shkia is the ikar point. That we see that the shkia is not the ikar point, since the second miscarriage before the melos, that does not require a separate korban. So we see, based on that, that would be that there's a different factor, not what Abaye says. Amar Rav Kahana, Shani Achad the mitzvah korban. But here, this case of the braisa is different because she doesn't have a korban. The woman didn't bring her korban yet. Her daughter's birth when she had her first miscarriage, and similarly, the second miscarriage happened before she was able to bring any korbanos. So therefore, since both miscarriages are before the day that she was shayach to bring her korban, then we can assume that you should bring the same korban. So then you can't compare this to the second miscarriage happening after the day of the melos, for it happened after that day, she was chayav in the korban, and therefore she'd be chayav in two korbanos, so that's why the one korban is not going to be sufficient for her. So therefore, that you're mechaser korban. So the Gemara says, but hasam nami machser harav shemesh, but there in the case of the miscarriage in day 81, she's not, it's not sunset yet, so why don't we assume that it would be the same problem? Meaning that the Bryce is telling us that the miscarriage on day 81, she has to bring an additional korban besides that which she brought in honor of her, in her daughter, not the first daughter who was the miscarriage. So the Gemara is wondering why should that be, since she doesn't have Harav Shemesh, she doesn't have sunset, even a miscarriage on day 81 should be considered before Melos, and she should be put there from bringing Tur Kabbana, she should only have to bring one. So the Gemara answers this question as well. Amar Le'abaye Shim Shem Emela Arva. The sun sets on its own without it lacking on the purse, on the woman. So therefore, the fact that the woman has to wait for sunset doesn't affect her status, since it happens automatically. So we see from Abaye's answer that he ended up agreeing with Rava. This is the Ikar Maskana, that he was answering this kasha in the Braisa, and that's how we see Beferish that Abaye is answering that he ended up going like Rava, that the Chatzagavra, that the really the person is Ra'oi. Just, he didn't finish her, in this case, her. She didn't finish her time yet. That's why this case is fundamentally different. Okay, let's go up to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells you, Amotze Meis, a person, this halacha is very much telling in the Gemara in Mishnayos and Bava Basra. There's a thing called a kuch. So they used to put, I think it was six, I think, farm on each side, on the right side and left side, and then three in the middle. What's unbelievable is if you go to, I think it was Yehuda ben Tema and Yehuda bar Eli, I don't remember which one. I think it's Yehuda ben Tema, maybe it's Yehuda bar Eli, actually, near Meron. A lot of the Tanaim are buried in near, you know, Meron, Sfad area. So there, some of the mamish have these kuchim. And near also Choni Magal, I think there's also in Chatzor, near Chatzor Glilit, there's also another one there of different Tanaim. Mamish, exactly how the Mishnah have it. You see like the three kfarim in one area, and then on the right side, can I see a picture if you've seen it before? And the Mishnah has to have them. And six on one side, six on the other side, and three on the top. So that's a kever that is assumed to be a basic forest already, because that's how people buried. So there's an afkamina. If a person is just buried stum, they used to bury people in a temporary place, and they used to move them to their family kever after a year. That was a practice in the time of the Mishnayos. That's what the Gemara talks about, moving bones. Why is that about moving bones? Because that was a practice in the time of the Mishnayos. So here, the Gemara is going to be talking about, if you find a mace which wasn't in a permanent place, then you have the right to move it. If it's in a graveyard, you have the right to move it. If it's not in a temporary place, then you would be allowed to move it. So the Mishnah tells you, Amotze mace betchilah. If a person finds a dead body, and there's only one body there, Mishkav Kedarka, it's lie down a normal way. There's a way that Jewish people bury. There's a minhag of the Chevra Kadisha, how they bury people. So notlo ve'est fusaso. You remove it along with the dirt underneath it, because it takes the dirt with it as well. And that's the halacha is you have to move the dirt as well with it. And that's the halacha of Yerushnayim. If you have two dead bodies, so then notlo ve'est fusaso. You also remove them with their the ground below. We don't assume that it is a permanent gevisa kfaras, which is usher to move them. Rather, we assume it's just a temporary one. You can move them to the area which you think they should be buried in. Matzah shalosha. However, once you find three, imyesh bein zel zel dal medalad amos at shmona. If the separation that exists between them is between 4 to 8 amos, so then we could already assume that that is what's called a halachic cemetery, and therefore you're not allowed to move it. Arei zeh shchunas kfaros. That's a area of graves. It's like a basic kfaros area, and you're not allowed to remove them because we assume that this person may this area is a basic kfaros. In which case, you don't have a right to move the basic kfaros. Let's just finish the Mishnah, turning on to Samach Chaim Alaf now. Bo de kemenu la'alan esrim amma. You search from there 20 amos further, because they also used to have a chatzar in between that was 6 by 6 amos, and then a whole nother, they used to have two different like familial plots that they used to have. Matzachar besof esrim amma. He found one on the end of 20 amos. Bo de kemenu la'alan esrim amma. He searched from there an additional 20 amos. Raglayim ladavar, because it says raglayim ladavar, she'ilu tchilas ha'matzah. If he found the grave first, Lutlavat Velasi would have taken that and it's the ground underneath it. So had he initially discovered this grave on its own before coming on the other three, he would have been able to remove it. That's the rule, that's the ratio of the Mishnah. Because he discovers it after the area had already been a presumed area, which is the gravesite area, you're not allowed to remove it. That's what the Mishnah is ending off with. Okay, Be'ez Hashem will pick up with Amar Rav Yehuda on tomorrow's daf.